morning, Emmanuel. And a very warm welcome to you all, including those listening by the recording or through the internet. If we have any visitors, please make yourselves known to us. Tea and coffee will be served after the service in the hall, so please do come through if you feel comfortable to do so. Oh, sorry, I've just been informed the Tradecraft store is also there. May I remind you that at 4 p.m. this afternoon, we'll be holding our annual service to particularly remember loved ones who have passed away in the last 2 years. Again, there will be tea and coffee after that service. Our reader this morning is Tom Hartshorn. I will now light the Christ candle and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship and to participate in the worldwide 2 minute silence at 11 a.m.
Good morning and welcome to our service this day. As we gather for worship here in this place, we are also aware that we are part of the family of God gathered in so many different places, in so many different ways, and we are grateful for that. Grateful for God's creation, grateful for what it provides for us, grateful that we are part of it, and being able to share it. May the love of God be with you and with God's people everywhere. From the prophets, we hear the words that have resounded over thousands of years and speak to us still today. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. May God grant us the gift of being able to respond, and may we have the willpower to be part of that walk. Our first hymn this morning on this Remembrance Sunday is from Rejoice and Sing. We're going to use the two hymn books today, just to make sure that you're on your toes and you don't go from one to the other without realizing it. It's hymn 705, O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Thank you.
I want to share with you a recognition that we have received as part of the effort of trying to be a better church in the little things that have taken up a lot of work. If you've read the weekly news, just towards the end of it, you will have seen that we have received the Bronze Award as an eco-church. That means to say that each of the churches of the partnership now have an award. So by definition, that would make us an eco-partnership. But yet, it's easier said than done, as Eddie, who had to fill in the forms and multiply the readings of them and discover what was missing and add as we went along, has discovered. The World Concerns have followed happily behind, urging him on, and the church meeting, we talked about it, and at elders' meetings last Thursday, we were able to see it. So the photograph in the weekly news is not that good, but this is it. It's covered in plastic now to protect it. It will go in a frame. And this is a thanks to you all, because it's not just buildings and grounds and elders and the church as such that has done a few things like this. It's the effort of so many people who have contributed, who have encouraged, who have asked questions and made a difference. And that I can announce this, the day after COP26 finished, I feel, in a way, that we've gone a step further than what COP26 ever managed to do up in Glasgow. Eco Church, the Arosha UK project, Bronze Eco Church Award Certificate. This is to certify that Emmanuel URC Swindon has won the Eco Award, Bronze Award. You do know that if you begin with bronze, you then go on to silver, then you go on to gold, and then you fall in exhaustion. We're going to take rest, but continue doing things. And as you heard at the church meeting last Sunday, one of the effects of this is going to be that when the time is ripe, a section of the back garden, at the back of the back garden, will have the wildflowers. And we hope will attract the little wriggly things that come with wildflowers, and that the bees will be friendly, and you be friendly with the bees, please, as well, and the wildlife that comes with it, because there is a lot. There is a lot of it. If I have some from Queen's Park, you can't imagine what the church must have with lawns. And it's a reminder, an important reminder in these times of the richness and the diversity that the world has as a gift of God. And as a church, it's not only what we proclaim. It has to be seen that we do things like this to encourage each of us to do a little bit more. So thank you. Take a rest for a bit, but then we will be back at it, heading towards the silver. Not because we want the silver, which we do, but I mean, because we feel it's the right thing to do. As a church, we feel it is the right thing to do to continue these efforts and make a difference. And this happily leads me on to our prayers, prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of confession, which we will end with the Lord's Prayer said all together. Let us pray. We are part of your story, dear God. But what's more challenging is that you are part of our story. And what we discover is that we are called to walk with you, and you have chosen to walk with us. You are the God that looked at things and declared that they were good. And you were pleased with what you saw. So pleased that you invited us, your sons and daughters of that time and all times, to work with you in caring for what you had done. And in some ways we have done a good job, but not in every way. And you keep on reminding us. As the words of the prophet with which we began this morning, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. When we meet other people, we discover that we aren't the center of creation, that we are part of it, that we share it with you and with others. If COP26 showed us anything, were the diversity of the people, your creation, really caring, really doing their best, really despairing for what goes on. And it must have hurt your heart, as it hurt many of us, to hear that Tuvalu says that soon they may no longer exist, but don't want to disappear as a state. Their islands sunk by the rising of the seas. The Maldives, where many have gone for exotic weddings or beautiful holidays on their beach, and yet the contamination is ruining their life. For the deforestation in Indonesia and in Brazil, the beauty that is there, we only catch a glimpse of it. But God, you did a great thing in this planet and in the universe. It's beautiful. It's amazing. From the tiny, wriggly little things that come to our gardens, yes, that make us smile sometimes, to the trees and the mountains, so immense, and some of them so old, to the people of all races, with their languages, with their traditions, with their music, with their beliefs. We are part of the extraordinary web of life. Help us to remember this. Help us to be committed to keeping that diversity going. But also we say sorry for the mess we make. This whole issue that has become so popular now of me first, where is that leading us? It's leading to rows and violence, of displacement, of fear, where many don't feel part of anything and many have been excluded from even something. Help us, please, dear God, because we can't see how to do it on our own, how to undo that mess, how to work together, how to love your way, how to love the earth, the sea, the air, humanity, and how we can do this together. Can we do it together? Do we want to do it together? How do we walk humbly with our God if we choose not to? Find a gentle way, O God, to show us the right direction. Help us and give us the courage we need to give up those things that aren't essential, to take things on that can lead to healing. Remind us how Jesus loved, so that we may learn how to love. Forgive us our mistakes, the pain we have caused, the silences we have kept, and bless us with your gift of presence, so that walking and working together, you may look at this world again and again and say, it's getting better and better. To you be the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we can say together as God's children, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 58 from Rejoice and Sing, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. O Lord, we receive so much. Even when we think it is a little, it's a lot. And from what we receive, we can set apart to give to that which you show us what is in need. Give wisdom to those who have to administer the offering, and to us the courage to be able to give of our time, of our talents, and our possessions, to proclaim to the world that your way of doing things is a way that leads to life in fullness for all. May this offering be part of that, this day and always. Amen. Thank you. And let us, as we are still standing, look around and share the words of the grace one with another as a blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Now, yes, please be seated. In not too long, we will be connecting to the cenotaph. This is that time of the service that either I've gone too quickly or gone too slow. This time, I've got the gift of being able to fill in time and not being cut off for time. But Jeff will gradually increase the volume of the radio he has as we connect to the cenotaph and share that time, and followed by the 2 minutes of silence. You probably read or heard in the news this morning that the Queen will not be able to be at the cenotaph this morning because she strained her back. Her absence there is just more than somebody not being there, because I think we all know that for her, being there is an important part of her duties, but also of her choice. So, again, when we close the service, we will be singing the national anthem, and may she know the prayers of her people up and down the country and around the world for her at this time. I am sure that each and every one of you has somebody on their mind at this time, somebody that you think of clearly, lovingly. Somebody who didn't come back from any of the conflicts that the world has seen in the 20th and 21st century. For those who came back affected physically, emotionally, spiritually in so many ways, and that is painful. I'm just going to mention one. It's either one or none, because I'm sure you all have list, and I don't want to be unfair, but just this one person I'm going to mention, may it serve as a chance for you to remember your own loved ones. And this is Lieutenant Gerald Sabin, killed 2 weeks before the end of the war. His connection to us, he was an uncle, to G. And so there is a connection, and Jean never got to meet her uncle, but always remembered him dearly, and particularly on a day like this. So just give yourself a few minutes to think of those that you would like to put before God at this time.
She has missed 6 other Remembrance Day services here at the Cenotaph. The reasons over time have included foreign trips and pregnancies. The military detachment's coming to attention. Our royal party will be led today by His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales. Looking down from the balconies, Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Cornwall, Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Cambridge, Vice Admiral Sir Tim Lawrence, His Royal Highness the Duke of Kent, Their Royal Highnesses the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester, Her Royal Highness Princess Alexandra, the Honourable Lady Ogilvy. Walking towards me now, the Prince of Wales taking position on the north side of the cenotaph. He's in the uniform of the Admiral of the Fleet, the Duke of Cambridge behind him, the Earl of Wessex, the Princess Royal, and the Duke of Kent. We're approaching the heart of our morning. The King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery will fire a solitary field gun in Horse Guards Parade, and as Big Ben strikes 11, the 2 minute silence will begin. Thank you.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. Please be seated. The choir will now sing the anthem, "Let Us Now Praise Famous Men." We now hear the two readings for this morning.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 to 10. And if you wish to follow, it's on page 662 of the Pew Bibles. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make food for all people, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." And the second reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5, and is on page 257 of the New Testament section. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tom, so much for leading us in the readings.
Let us pray. Lord Christ, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, disconcerted by the world's violence and its sorrow, distracted by our inward doubts and fears. Wherever we are on this day's journey, breathe on us your gentle spirit, that we may be oases of quietness and refreshment, bringing to your uneasy world reconciliation and peace. Amen. Amen. The two readings we've just heard, in a way, summarize the human reality. Conflict, tension, destruction on one hand, and the other, hope. Hope that sooner or later, things will be different from what today seems normal. Peace will not be a dream, but a construction which each and every one of us will be involved in. When we hear the words in Revelation, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the sea was no more," that vision will become an affirmation of hope. When Isaiah says, "Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces," this is the expression of change. We need things to be different. We desperately need things to be different. We cannot get used to pain, fear, destruction, hatred, persecution, discrimination as the natural way of life. They don't defy normality. Who wants that type of normality? I, for one, don't. And I hope that you would agree that you don't either. Each year, Remembrance Sunday is a time we seek to reaffirm the vision that God has for life. Even if it's only one Sunday a year, though if we believe in it enough to remember on this day, it should be important enough for every day of our life. It seems complicated. Of course it does. And it is complicated. Just think of the powers intervening in the last few hours yesterday up in Glasgow, wanting to change the words of the final agreement. And where most countries, or lots of countries, didn't want to approve the document because it had been watered down so much. They felt that a bad document was better than no document at all. It's complicated. And we do this in the midst of climate emergency, of hatred, of brokenness, where these realities don't seem to add up, but multiply. And when we thought that some had disappeared, we give ourselves a time of rest, and without realizing it, to our horror, we discover that they have grown, that they have become more subtle and more dangerous than ever before. It is our duty of faith to resist evil. It's not a choice. It's a biblical mandate. Not to accept what is wrong as right. It is true. There are many, many scenes in our Old Testament that are abhorrent to us today, unacceptable. And nobody would deny that. We try to explain them as a different era, a different time, way people understood things. The fact is that today, lots of them would be totally unacceptable. No matter how much people try, history can't be treated as it never happened. It did happen. And some of the consequences of history are painful even today. But we must look history in the face. We must take its power to be life-depriving, as so often has been the case, and confront it, so it becomes life-enhancing, life-giving. George Santayana once said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And deep down, we have repeated the worst of history too often. We've also repeated some good things in history. But no change has come without looking history in the face and saying, we can't go back to that. So let us truly remember. Isaiah makes this affirmation, "O Lord, you are my God, I exalt you." That is the affirmation on which we stand. That is our starting point. From there we develop, from there we grow, from there we analyze and confess and seek to go forward. God has dismantled the structures of the powers of the time. The fortified city is a ruin. The palaces of the alien is a city no more. And God has become the refuge of the poor and the hungry and the needy, a shelter. That's what Isaiah is talking about. But he's looking at the pain in the eye and saying, do you know what? This is not right. God wants something different. Once again, we read in the Bible about God being different from the powers of the time. He was different from the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Persians. He was different from Rome. He is different from the powers of any time. And God has always been on the side of those who had nobody to protect them. And if we read history, we have discovered in history too often how some protectors have become ruthless instruments of destruction, but not God. So, where are we in this reality?
How do our actions, I'm not only talking about us sitting here this morning, but the actions of humanity today, demonstrate where we stand? Yes, I know. And I've recognized this many times before. It may seem romantic. It may be a pretty picture painted of world peace. But if we don't have that picture, what are we left with? What is the alternative? For too long in humanity, we seem to have got used to the things that we can't get used to. So this is how we see the prophet and the visionary of Revelation challenging us to the vision of the kingdom. Because if reality in the world today has one vision, we have every right to say that the vision that nurtures us is a different one. It's God's vision. It's the vision of the kingdom. A kingdom where God will wipe all tears from the faces. And it was in the two readings today. It was in Isaiah and it was in Revelation. Where the hungry will be fed. Where death will be swallowed up forever. Is this the impossible dream? You've probably heard, "I'll dream the impossible dream," the song of the musical. Is it the impossible dream? If it is, let us say so and then forget everything and go on with life as the world would like us to follow. But if it is not the impossible dream, then we have a mission. A dream of construction and not of destruction. Where the city of peace, because that's what Jerusalem means. Jerusalem, Shalom, the city of peace, will come down. And that was an absolutely amazing vision. Go back to Revelation 21, and Jerusalem will come down and live among us. To those who talk of the destruction of the world and that God can only build after all this has been obliterated, Revelation says, the city of peace will descend to where we live today. God is not seeking the total destruction, but Jerusalem will come and live among us. The final words of the reading of Revelation today are the words of God's calling us to be part. See, I am making all things new. Yes, God, yes. Let us be part of that construction. That newness needs to take shape. Not somewhere in the future. It has to begin yesterday. You've seen in the news this week the drought in Ethiopia, in Afghanistan, no water, not even blades of grass for the donkeys to eat. And these are the two new ones that appeared on the news. I'm not going down the list of all the ones we've mentioned. You know. The Aboriginal people of the world fearing the disappearance of their livelihood. Children with no future, no education, where health is a commodity that only a few can pay for. The lack of COVID vaccines, where most of the world population has had no access to them. Basic human rights for all people, that's what God is talking about. Everybody will have to eat. Everybody will have to drink. There will be shade, rest. If we believe in God, the Word of God must become the motor to our initiatives, our actions, our thoughts, and our prayers. Not everybody can action, but all of us can pray. Not everybody wants to listen, but we have a voice that is God's voice, based, rooted in the Word of God, that can tell the leaders of the world, that is wrong. We need a different world. And when we remember, as we do today, what are we remembering? Those who died, the past,
But one reality, we recognize their sacrifice, their self-giving of everything. But I think at the same time, we're also saying, we go back to that. We don't want that death and destruction while we honor what they have done to be inflicted on the generations that come. They did not die for that. If remembering is only remembering some while ignoring others, we will never mature. We will never grow. We need a remembering that moves us forward as agents of change, of justice and peace and reconciliation. Things have to be different. Then we will be truly living our faith. So yes, let us pray. Yes, let us remember. And yes, let us walk so that the new heavens and the new earth become a reality of peace in our midst. May God lead us, and may we respond to that leadership. Amen. I invite Edith to share with us now a poem written by Edwin Muir.
By Edwin Muir. They are not here, and we are the others who walk by ourselves, unquestioned in the sun, which shines for us and only for us, for they are not here. And are made known to us in this great absence that lies upon us and is between us. Since they are not here. Now, in this kingdom of summer idleness, where slowly we, the sun-tranced multitudes, dream and wander in deep oblivion of brightness, and breathe ourselves out into the air. It is absence that receives us. We do not touch. Our souls go out in the absence that lies between us and is about us. For we are the others. And so we sorrow for those that are not with us, not knowing that we sorrow or that this is our sorrow, since it is long past thought or memory or device of mourning. Sorrow for loss of that which we never possessed, the unknown, the nameless, the ever-present that in their absence are with us. With us, the inheritors, the usurpers, claiming the sun and the kingdom of the sun, that sorrow and loneliness must bring a blessing upon us.
Thank you, Edith. And John will lead us in the president's session now.
As we come together in our prayers, we remember all those who selflessly gave their tomorrows for our todays. Let us look at or touch our poppies. O Lord, poppies are such bright and cheerful flowers. They remind us to thank you for the lives of those who have died in war, remembering all the joy they brought to families and friends and all the good things they did for their home and their country. And as we look at the red petals, red reminds us of danger and harm. O Lord, be close to those who are still facing danger each day, to give courage to the armed forces and compassion to all who help others. And as we place our whole hand over our poppy, we remember that they are also fragile and need to be handled gently. O Lord, we ask for your care for those who are hurting, lonely, sad, and those who are afraid. Comfort all who are grieving the loss of someone they love. And as we place a finger on the scent of our poppy, O Lord, help us to play our parts in working for peace. Amen. We pray for our world. As COP26 has come to an end, we pray that positive changes and real outcomes are implemented. Creator God, giver of life, you sustain the earth and direct the nations in this time of climate crisis. Grant us clarity to hear the groaning of creation and the cries of the poor. Challenge us to change our lifestyles. Guide our leaders to take courageous action. Enable your church to be a beacon of hope and foster within us a renewed vision of your purposes for your world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by and for whom all things were made. We pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world this coming winter who are facing famine and lack of adequate shelter. We especially pray for those in Afghanistan and Ethiopia and Belarus, amongst others. O Lord, open our eyes. Help us to perceive the needs of people who are hungry. O Lord, open our hearts and minds. Help us to be one with those who are experiencing famine and are in desperate situations. O Lord, open our hearts and minds. Forgive us for the inaction and for the insufficient responses to the needs of the hungry and thirsty. O Lord, strengthen us to advocate and mobilize action to overcome hunger. Help us to respond to those in need, sharing our resources and urging others to do the same. Amen. We pray for those suffering from COVID-19 and its complications. Also, those finding it difficult to obtain the care and support for all conditions overshadowed by this pandemic. We continue to give thanks for all those who care for us. Give them courage and commitment in their daily struggles. Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care those who are ill or in pain, those in fear or lonely, knowing that whenever the danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Comfort and heal them and restore them to health and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. As one family, we reflect today on the horrors of the past that continue to haunt humanity and darken our world. Lord, where pain still overwhelms, bring healing. Where hearts are still breaking, bring comfort. Where peoples are still oppressed, bring liberation. Where communities are still victimized, bring justice. Where children are still brutalized, bring compassion. Where lives are still crushed, bring hope. Where evil is perpetrated, bring repentance. Where war still devastates, bring peace. Where there is loneliness, bring comfort. Where there is fear, bring reassurance. But most of all, wherever a single voice cries out in the darkness, bring us to one another in the name of the love you bear in your heart for all people, all nations, and all creation. Amen.
And now from Sing Praise, hymn 140. We cannot measure how you heal or answer every sufferer's prayer, yet we believe your grace responds where faith and doubt unite to care. Sing Praise, 140. Now go, go in peace and be witnesses of hope. May God bless all and each of us with strength to seek justice. May God bless us with wisdom to care for the earth. May God bless us with the love to bring forth new life. May God bless us so that we fear not as we walk the way of life. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.